الإنس والجنة علي حبه جنة قسيم النار والجنة وصي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to RIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the Charter of Islamic Governance based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha. We are currently focusing on the 30th sermon, where Imam Ali alayhi salam explains about his role in the issue of Uthman's death. And what happened is that people were using excuses to fight against Imam Ali alayhi salam under the umbrella of the issue of vengeance against Uthman. And they were putting blames against Imam Ali alayhi salam that he had a role in the death of Uthman, number one. Number two, they started to say that why is Imam Ali alayhi salam not punishing those people who took part in the death of Uthman and things like that. So they were trying to create a case against him, and they were using this as excuse to fight against Imam Ali alayhi salam. This is very, very important in every government to realize why people are doing a certain uprising. Is that issue really the reason why they want to fight against you, or is it because they just don't want you and they're using this as an excuse? They have a grudge or they have some ulterior motives, and these are the things that are keeping them in that state of fighting against you. It is not really that issue that is of concern for them. And this is where a person needs to be able to be one who recognizes a fitna, or a state of confusion, very carefully and know the reason behind that state of confusion. This is an extremely important thing in society, and we need to prepare the community to understand these issues.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to IRIB English Radio. The issue of the death of Uthman is an issue in history that has attracted the attention of many Islamic historians and even other historians to kind of analyze. Although it's a very sad story, it's a hurtful story, especially with regards to the way people disturbed Imam Ali alayhi salam. But it is a good example of how Imam Ali alayhi salam dealt with this issue and kind of give us an awareness and an awakening in us on how we can take lessons from the way he dealt with the whole social, you can say the sociological intricacies and how people reacted and what they did is a wonderful case study that a person can really work on and kind of develop and make use of. Anyways, what is important for us is to realize that sometimes people just look for excuses to go against you. So, you don't need to compromise on what is correct and what is right with the excuse of saying that, if we do this, then the evil guys are going to attack us. They're going to say we are bad. No, because anyways, if they want to attack you, they will attack you. Right now, look at, for example, Iran. Okay, the nuclear issue is not the main issue that they are against Iran. That's not the actual issue why they are against Iran. They don't like the very existence of Iran because it is something that does not accept the authority of the dictatorial and the usurping and proud and arrogant powers of the world. It doesn't want. And that's what is hurting the arrogant rulers of the world. that why is there a country that exists that doesn't accept the rule of the arrogant people? And this is why they'll give you excuses. One day they'll say nuclear issue. Another day they'll tell you, oh, no, the issue of the missiles. Oh, no, now the IRGC. And then next time they'll say Hezbollah. Another time they'll say something else. The reason, these are not the actual reasons why they are going against Iran or any truth-loving country. This is not the reason why they are going against, for example, Ansarullah in Yemen, or for example, the Hashd al-Sha'bi in Iraq, or other good forces. The reason is because these groups are not accepting to be under the yoke of the arrogant powers. So sometimes it's like this. Whatever you do, falsehood will go against you. So you need to stick to your ideals and not compromise. Yes, you can have some kind of maneuvering, political maneuverings as and when required. That's a very different discussion. It can be discussed in the political sciences from the Islamic perspective.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to IRIB English Radio. We are trying to understand and analyze the issue of the uprising that went against Imam Ali alayhi salam with regards to avenging the death of Uthman. And of course, this was being focused on the 30th sermon of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. So these people came and they started to complain to Imam Ali, and they started to uprise against Imam Ali that, oh, Ali, you are the one who had a hand in the killing of Uthman, and this whole group. And that's how the whole Battle of Jamal happened, the Battle of the Camel. This is how it happened. And of course, afterwards also they always used to use this excuse to go against Imam Ali alayhi salam. They, in fact, in the whole issue of the death of Uthman, Imam Ali alayhi salam in the start even, took a stance against those people who openly came and killed. He took a stance, he took action even against them. Of course, there were elements of those who killed Uthman who were really bad, like maybe they had some ulterior motives behind killing Uthman. So Imam Ali alayhi salam knew that there's a vast spectrum of people who are fighting against, who want to kill Uthman. There are some who are killing Uthman for ulterior motives. Some of them, they have actual reasons, because Uthman, of course, if you read history, you'll see there were a lot of acts of corruption that happened during his time. A lot of favorism, a lot of plundering of the wealth of the Muslim Ummah. So there were actual complaints against him. That's why people like Talha went against him. People like Aisha, the wife of the Prophet, went against him. So these things were very clear in history. So Imam Ali alayhi salam tried his best to, first of all, clear out some of the bad weeds that were trying to fight against, who were playing a bad role in this whole issue. But these people who are against Imam Ali wanted Imam Ali alayhi salam to take action against good people. People who had whose role was not so clear in the issue of the death of Uthman, and they were really good people, people like Malik Ashtar. He wasn't one of the killers. Imam Ali al-Islam also didn't command on the killing of Uthman, as it will come later. Nor did he support them, nor did he go against them, and didn't have clear terms. Imam Ali played a very, very powerful role there, because he had to support legal and necessary procedures against oppression and corruption, but at the same time he did not advocate the killing. So this whole process, inshallah, which is a very important process, we'll discuss about this in the coming session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
حين دعاه نلمه.
الشدائد مجيد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Tehran Saray Gallery takes part in a massive art exhibition in South Korea, bringing Iran's leading and emerging artist to the Asian market. Works from six Iranian painters are displayed at the event, where hundreds of galleries account for more than $50 million in sales annually. Frank Smith reports from Seoul.
Seoul's annual global art exhibition has been reinvigorated this year with additional events and a most certain boost in attendance. The Korea International Art Fair continues an evolution that began with its launch back in 2002. This year features 164 galleries and more international exhibitors than ever before. That growing cosmopolitan experience and this region's growth as an art market hub is what brought a premier Iranian gallery to Seoul.
When we started this gallery, we had the big goal to just introduce Middle Eastern artists and Iranian artists to all over the world. So when you want to introduce artists, you cannot forget South Korea and Far East as well.
Sarai had participated in last year's art fair with paintings purchased by local Korean collectors. Expanding on that success at the event and as Iranian artists are growing in international stature, Hassan Saradipour decided to display works from six Iranian artists at this year's event.
Our gallery focuses on the established and emerging artists. This artist, Abbas Nasishamlu, he just want to show that how the nature and how the human can affect to each other, how this experience can bring it on the canvas, on the paper.
The massive exhibition featured paintings, although there were various multimedia and sculpture installations. As South Korean living standards have risen, more people have time and money to spend on such events. Their taste in art has also become more sophisticated.
South Korea used to lack art galleries compared to other countries. There was a serious lack of love for this level of culture. However, now these events, I think, create opportunities for more people to gain such appreciation.
For the first time this year, Freeze Art Fair in Seoul exhibited works from 110 galleries, including Picasso, other 20th century masters, and contemporary talents. Frank Smith, Seoul.
An Iranian movie wins the grand prize for the best film in this year's Moscow International Film Festival. In its international debut, No Prior Appointment won the Best Film and the Best Actress awards. The movie is a product of Farabi Cinema Foundation and directed by Behruz Shoaibi in Iran in 2021. It is the story of a girl named Yasaman who returns to Iran from Germany after her father's death. A short stay in her father's hometown and meeting those who know him leads her to a new understanding of humans and the concept of death. The 44th edition of the Moscow International Film Festival was held this year from September 4 to 11. Animals, no matter pets or wild, are more vulnerable to drowning or dying in resulting floods and mudslides. A veterinarian school in Pakistan is offering free treatment for animals injured in the recent devastating floods. The veterinary surgery department of Sindh Agriculture University has set up a makeshift animal hospital as flooding hit humans and animals alike in the surrounding area. Volunteers have been providing anything from surgery surgery to medicine, and even ultrasounds to the animals free of cost. People from flood-affected areas can be seen bringing their farm animals such as goats, donkeys, buffaloes, and cows into the center. The worst floods in history have killed an estimated 800,000 farm animals. But there were many heartwarming videos trolling on social media showing people come to rescue animals being stuck hopelessly.
Iran is famous for its hand-knotted carpets and ancient art which have been loved for centuries and are never going out of style despite changing tastes and increased competition from Asia. Striking geometric shapes that recall 20th century abstract art are what we expect to see in handmade Iranian rugs. But weavers and exporters have been forced to redesign a tradition dating back more than 2,000 years due to numerous problems. Carpet exporter Ahad Azimzadeh says, however, that a revolution is underway. Iranian rugs are known for dense, curving floral designs in rich colors. They were put on display in a recent exhibition that featured a rug with small squares of hypnotic diagonal blue and white lines and another depicting diamond and other patterns in gold silk. Some countries have overtaken Iran in the global market, but many say modern carpets will never replace the traditional ones, which are deep-rooted in Iranian culture.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
These days, computer technology is impacting every aspect of our life, providing a greater ability to place things, events, and people within context. An Iraqi museum has started using the technology and virtual reality headsets to make exhibits interactive and to bring scenes back to life. Visitors can explore heritage sites destroyed by terrorist groups. Now, using thousands of photographs, a group of local engineers have given a virtual rebirth to five historic sites in Mosul and a broad Nineveh province that includes a mosque and its leaning minaret. But this museum brings sites back to life for the people who live in Mosul. Although large parts of the old city remain oceans of debris, authorities are trying to restore historic sites, mosques and churches in Mosul. A private museum along the Tigris River, which opened in mid-June, saw more than 4,000 visitors in its first month. The floating cinema of unknown waters is back in the Italian city of Venice, and spectators are getting buoyant to reach the annual Open Sea Film Festival. On board a rowing boat, a motorboat, gondolas, and whatever capable of floating, spectators sail to the shallows behind the Giudecca Island for this one-of-a-kind cinematic experience. The audience can watch the program from their own boat or a barge with chairs for those without floating transportation. The event consists of a series of screenings, performances and presentations on a floating platform and is held for 12 nights in the Venetian Lagoon.
A new bird species has been discovered on the southernmost islands of the Americas. Biologists are baffled.
Discovering new bird species is very, very difficult and rare because the world has been more focused on observing birds. Therefore, this means the discovery site is unique in the sub-Antarctic zone, on which Chile has important sovereignty. This raises the importance of caring for the environment and unique ecosystems, as these sites will allow us to carry out research on climate change, new species and behaviors.
The tiny bird weighs only 16 grams and has a large beak with black and yellow streaks along its body. Researchers say the animal is a subcategory of a species typically found in the Patagonia forest and inhabits tree trunks. But the newly discovered cousin has surprised scientists as it learned to burrow and live in a harsh tundra climate with bitter temperatures. The Diego Ramirez archipelago, where the bird was found, is an isolated bit of land. It also lacks mammalian predators and woody plants. Biologists and researchers from Chilean universities and various academic centers studied the birds for 6 years before announcing the new species. The next moonshot is finally getting closer. NASA says it's ready to test its next-generation rocket ship on an epic launch set for August the 29th as part of its mission to send people to the moon.
This new deep space exploration system is going to take us back to the moon and to new science discoveries that we can't even imagine yet. NASA is about to make history with this first flight of the Artemis program.
The mega rocket combines the Space Launch System, or SLS, and the Orion crew capsule it will carry to space. The rocket is due to blast off for a test drive from the U.S. base Kennedy Space Center, sending an empty crew capsule around the moon and back to the Earth. The Artemis 1 test flight is planned to take 6 weeks. It's meant to rigorously stress the systems to determine whether the vehicle is ready to safely carry astronauts. The program aims to establish a long-term lunar colony as a stepping stone to the even more ambitious future voyages that will send people to Mars. The SLS represents the biggest new vertical launch system NASA has built since those flown in the 1960s and 70s. This story will tell you about what could be the bright side of climate change, and that's the discovery of dinosaur tracks dating back to 113 million years ago. The tracks were found in the U.S. state of Texas, where drought has dried up parts of Paluxy River. Experts say the tracks belong to a two-legged dinosaur with small arms and weighing 7 tons. They say dinosaurs made the prints as they roamed muddy areas over 100 million years ago. The prints were then covered over with sediment due to a flood. And after that, they turned into limestone, protecting the prints. The experts say the tracks have not been seen either before or in decades. Age does not matter, it's the heart that counts. A Guatemalan female footballer has proved that there is no point one should worry about the age. 57-year-old Alma Salazar has a passion for soccer and takes care of her team's goalpost. Known as Flying Granny, she launches herself and deflects a ball that's looking for the nets. The passion for the sport was born when she was 19 years old. She started training with a men's team where she often found a place as a goalkeeper. Since then, Alma has played for several professional and amateur football clubs. In her room that overlooks a local stadium, Alma keeps the trophies she has won on a table, most of them as the least defeated goalkeeper. Locals praise her as an unbeatable goalkeeper. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The 4-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture and manufacturing.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa al-Bahadali, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic beliefs. Joining us in the studio today is our dear friend and esteemed guest speaker, Sheikh Noor Muhammad, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you to the studio and, of course, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sheikh. Today, dear Sheikh, we'll be talking about some of the sins that we face on an everyday basis. Some of these sins, of course, they are dependent upon the environment we live in. For example, some sins are more prevalent in some countries in relation to other countries. Some sins are more prevalent, for example, in universities, in high schools, in clubs, in certain areas, and so on and so forth. One such sin that we are actually facing more and more today is the sin of masturbation. And this sin, of course, there are many reasons that we, inshallah, will be talking about today, but one of these reasons is the environmental factor, i.e. we are talking about the state of the hijab that one Muslim lives in.
Sure.
As a Muslim who lives in a society that's unfortunately constantly, I don't want to say developing, but regressing for the worse, moving further and further away from Islamic ideals, or no, I live in a Western country who doesn't even have these Islamic ideals, how can I, as a Muslim, avoid these sins, and specifically masturbation?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you mentioned, we have a lot of ways for prevention of this grave sin that you mentioned for the masturbation. I believe that first point is to understand that, physically speaking, mentally speaking, you can find a lot of damage and harms for the body of human being. We have to understand that. Unfortunately, maybe some people are ignorant about the harms of the masturbation. Please check it online. You can find a lot of physicians that have been talking about this issue.
Right.
And they describe all harms attached to this masturbation. Let me count some of them. For example, it has depression and the weakness of the body. Weakness in having some kind of, legal sexual relationship with your wife,
right, with
or
your
with
partner.
Your husband, yeah, with your right. partner in future, because it causes a lot of weakness in your body. You cannot have the normal sexual, intercourse with your partner in future. We cannot have that. And then we have the anxiety, agitation, disturbance of mind, and so on and so forth. You may name that.
Exactly. We have actually psychologists who've even went out and termed, if you've heard perhaps of a porn addiction, they've actually called this a mental disorder.
Yes.
And as you've mentioned, it doesn't only cause physical problems, mostly it causes psychological problems.
Exactly.
For yourself. And there's very interesting studies that have been done on this, but also for your partner. Because one of these, we must talk about this in detail. I apologize if it gets a bit graphic, but we must talk about this, dear Sheikh.
Sure.
One of these problems that it poses for you and your future partner is that you will not be satisfied with what you will see.
Exactly.
Because you have developed a very specific interest, a fetish called what you want, that you can only achieve sexual satisfaction by seeing that.
Exactly.
Or doing that.
Exactly. And this is a point.
Exactly. And an extension of that, you've also done it in a very specific manner. I do not want to go too much into detail, but for example, you skip some important part of the whole process with your partner, and you just want to go to the end, because your brain has been programmed in such a manner. And this, dear listeners, if they want to look further into this, they can go and look about how our brains have been affected by social media at large. We become we seek feedback and new stimuli, and we constantly want something new, a new distraction. Dear listeners, we cannot stress this enough. I apologize, dear Sheikh, for taking or interrupting you. We cannot stress this enough. Masturbation and this porn addiction doesn't only affect and harm yourself, it will be a disaster for your future relations as well.
Exactly. Thank you very much. It was a very nice explanation that you offer. You know that not only masturbation, all abnormal relationship that human being has, like, for example, homosexuality and different kind of, you know, unfortunate relationship that we have, all of that,
because
they are abnormal, they cause lots of, you know, problems for your future, you know, relationship with your husband or with your, you know, wife.
Right.
You know that unfortunately I see, when I check it online, some people, some theologists, so-called theologists, maybe pseudo-theologists, they try to justify such abnormal let's say relationship. I don't know how this, you know, people.
What do they say, dear Sheikh?
Unfortunately, I do not want to, you know, go to the detail of that. But unfortunately, especially, for example, about the homosexuality.
Right.
This is not the topic of our discussion. But unfortunately, they want to justify. They want to, you know,
make it lawful.
Make it lawful, and they want to support the idea. But I was wondering how these people, they call themselves theologists or scientist people.
Right.
And unfortunately, they are ignorant about the harms and the, you know, disastrous, you know, harms that it has to the, even
right,
the body and the mental
health of the human being. Yeah, we can continue talking about the harms for so long.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
We encourage our dear listeners, if you do not want to listen, take it from us. Also because you do not want to continually speaking about the harms, you want to talk how we can prevent it. You can simply go online and search and find out for yourself. Western atheist scientists, if you want to call them that, they've called this a mental disorder, porn addiction, and masturbation. It is unhealthy. We have some who say, no, it can be healthy, but those are the minority. But now that we kind of understand the danger of such a sin, such an act, dear Sheikh, what are the ways that we can employ to prevent falling into this sin? Especially for Muslims, for example, who live in the U.S., who are bombarded with people without hijab, but also even in our Islamic societies, in Arabic countries, in Iran, we see some stuff. How can we combat this?
First step for the prevention of that and is kind of, let's say, cure for that is to have the decent marriage. Whether you can have the, permanent marriage or temporary marriage within the Islamic, laws, you can have that, and it is one of the best because Noble Prophet Muhammad, he said that if you have marriage, then you can safeguard your religion. Okay.
Right. Half of your religion.
At least half of your religion have been safeguarded. So now it is maybe marriage is one of the best ways for the prevention of such disorderment.
Right. But for many people, marriage is not possible for multiple reasons. So what can we do for people who cannot get married, dear Sheikh?
If it is what was not possible for you, first step is to control your eyes. It is very important. Especially via the social media, as you mentioned, some of the unfortunate
Instagram
problems.
Now we have a new program, TikTok. Before that, we had Vine, I believe. So many different programs.
Exactly. It is very important to have some kind of observation or control of your eyes. It is very important, and then not to eat too much food. Okay, to try to make your stomach a little bit, empty of food and drinking.
Right. Of course, we're saying because people who have a lot of energy, they also have a lot of energy for some other activity.
Yes.
So we do not want to say starve yourself, but fasting, dear Sheikh, is actually a recommended way.
Exactly. Or fasting, if it was possible for you, because we have a lot of recommendations for fasting.
Right.
But if you do not want to fast, at least eat a little food, not too much, not to fill your stomach and your bellies with lots of food.
And definitely don't eat sugary foods. And foods that...
oily, sugary, yeah.
Yes, that actually leads to an increase in lust.
Yes. Another point is to engage yourself with a study, okay? Going to mosque, Husseiniyas, and to have some kind of exercise,
Right, physical exercise is also
physical
a good one.
Exercise is very important, and try not to be alone. For example, go for the visitation of your, brothers in faith. As I mentioned, go to the mosque. Go, for example, for the public services.
Right.
Just be in public. Try to talk to people. Be more sociable. Yeah.
So basically, distract yourself.
Exactly, just to engage yourself, and as you mentioned, distract yourself from thinking on sexual issues, and not to arouse yourself, not to think about sexual issues, and try to distract your mind of the, some sexual issues and, whisperings of Satan. It is very important. How? By remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is very important. Try to engage in remembrance of Allah.
Sheikh, you said that one should try to engage in dhikr, in remembering Allah. Well, how does one go about this practically? Like, is it enough to just think about Allah, or is there a special dhikr one can recite? Or is it just remind yourself that Allah is watching? As simple as that.
Most important dhikr is as-salah, is to pray on time. It is wala dhikrullahi akbar. One of the greatest remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to pray on time. Your obligation, your obligated prayers,
right.
Pray it on time. It is very important. Okay, to have some kind of control on your sexual, temptation. And another point is to remember that in different narration that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those people who have masturbation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at them massively. And in the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not talk to them. Okay. ثَلَاثَةُ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَلَا يَنْدُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يُذَكِّهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not talking to them, do not look at them mercifully, and do not purify them, and there is a great chastisement in their judgment. One of them is those people who have masturbation.
Dear Sheikh, we will have to continue this discussion another time because we are unfortunately out of time. I thank you for joining us today, dear Sheikh, and I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. Li Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي
Hussein and Hassan. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss about the problems, questions, and issues you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. Today in our studio, we have with us our guest speaker, Professor Salman Naqvi. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
Professor Salman Naqvi is a faculty member at the Al Mustafa University and also a researcher on the Islamic issues in the Hawza Ilmi Afko. Well, in our previous sessions, we have been discussing about the relationship with environment that needs to be guided to the children. And at the same time, you talked about the philosophical reasoning that's also important. That's something that's underlying all these concepts.
Yes, exactly. What is important is, as I said, the child should be made to realize that all of our efforts are based upon the realization of the truth, the absolute truth.
Okay.
Allah Almighty is the embodiment of absolute truth. He is al-haq.
Yes.
Everything that is good, everything that is right, everything that is infinite is there in God.
Yeah.
That is the foundation of all our thought processes. That has to be inculcated. That in all our endeavors, we are looking for the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something natural because God Almighty has gifted us with this urge to find the truth, to find the infinite, whether it is in the form of the love that we have of knowledge, whether it is the love of goodness that is there in the form of our human fitra, nature,
yeah.
the intrinsic divine nature, Even when we look, we adore things which are beautiful. They attract us because there's beauty, there's truthfulness in it, there's goodness.
Attractness in them.
So everything that is takes us towards divinity, to becoming
spirituality,
absolute.
Yeah.
That is what we are after. That has to be brought out in the human being, in the child. The love of goodness, the love of the truth. And the best thing is to show our children the signs of Allah Almighty.
Yeah.
Which are, they are spread out in the universe. And also in their souls, within themselves. Their thinking, their feelings. We need to make our children realize that this is what is given to, has been given to us, gifted to us by Allah Almighty. And these are His signs.
Yeah.
And through them, we want to reach Him.
Okay.
And through them, we want to realize the truth. We have to understand the truth. He is the truth. But that is not just knowing. It's just not realizing in the cognitive sense. It has to translate into His love for Him, for the love of the truth.
All right.
And it has to translate into our actions.
Okay.
Through the skills that we develop in ourselves, carrying out perfect things, the best things possible, the good practices. When it comes to the environment, the whole universe is the environment in which we live. Environment is not just the immediate environment we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes, we have to take off the immediate environment.
Yeah.
We don't make air pollution, we don't make sound pollution, we don't make pollute things around us. We keep things nice and tidy. That is the very bare minimum.
Okay.
But we have to look beyond that. We have to look at the whole...
Out of the box.
Exactly. Look at the whole scheme of things.
Yeah.
The universe, discover it. Wherever the Quran mentions tadabbur, fikr,
yeah,
taqul, it's about the signs of Allah.
Yeah.
Discovery. Scientific discovery, yes. But based on a foundational philosophical understanding of the universe. And after that discovery is the harnessing of the universe and its forces for the betterment. So that could be technology.
Yeah. We'll discuss more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. And we have Professor Salman Naqvi with us. And we are discussing about the relationship with environment and philosophical reasoning to be taught to the children.
So, as I was saying before, that we have to provide the children with that philosophical basis and understanding.
Yeah.
And then that should extend into the scientific understanding of the universe.
All right.
It's discovery, exploring. I mean, the sky's the limit. The child should be inculcated with this love of understanding the universe, exploring it, discovering it. I mean, it's not just the heavens, and I'm not just talking about astronomy. I'm talking about the whole of the planet, the animals, the plant kingdom. We have to make our children understand the bounties and the gifts that have been given to us by Allah Almighty, to discover them and to benefit from them
and
from their beauty.
Yeah.
And to maintain the environment. Today, one of the problems, just look at the issue of this disease that is spreading, the COVID, the corona. One of the reasons given is that we, as human beings, are encroaching upon the natural habitat of the animals.
Yeah.
And when we are encroaching upon them, we are destroying the natural ecology of the planet, and then we expect that we remain protected from the natural things that may
happen to us.
Happen to us.
Disasters.
Yes, so there are so many things, so many disasters are being are caused by us human beings.
All right.
And especially our israf, our not taking care of these resources, not maintaining a balance, not using things in a proper measure. But we need to advance our scientific knowledge. We have to advance the technology. Wherever the Quran talks about thinking, meditation,
contemplation.
As I said, scientific discovery based on a sound philosophical understanding. And beyond science is technology.
Yes.
How we employ this scientific understanding to harness the forces of nature.
Yeah.
When you build dams, when you build, make electricity, when you make nuclear energy, you're employing the forces of nature and you are harnessing them for the sake of mankind. And this has to be done. Our beloved leader, Imam Khamenei, is emphasizing on this fact that the Islamic Ummah, and especially the Iranian nation, has to progress and advance in science and technology. Because it is the proper interaction with the nature, with our environment, taking from nature and giving back to it what it deserves.
All right.
We need to maintain a balance, and that can only be managed under the umbrella of wilaya.
Yeah, so you're trying to say that we just don't need to teach our children only that proper use of resources is only at home. Even the proper use of resources is in the environment as well at a very early level. I'll talk more on that with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
يا مطي الخيرات يا مطي الخيرات
Imam Kadhim alayhi salam said, "It is a recommended practice for a child to play in his childhood so that he becomes patient in his adulthood."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We're discussing about the relationship of nature and how we can teach that to our children.
Unfortunately, to say that today the advancement in technology is overtaking the advancement and progress in our human values and moral values in the philosophical understanding. Today, technology is outmaneuvering us.
Okay.
We have to put a stop to that. Our children have to be stopped. The advancement of society, of technology, social media is huge. We can't stop that advancement to take place. We need to protect our children.
We need to
channelize and control them, not to stop them.
Monitor.
We need to channelize that.
Okay.
I mean, so yes, today children are engrossed in these
social media apps, games,
war games, and it's all fighting and killing and terror. Instead of that, there's a lot of information on the net about the planet Earth, about the environment.
How to protect it.
Just to discover it.
To explore it.
You have an application which will tell you the position of the stars. But, I mean, in this technological advancement, there are good things, there are bad things. We want to teach our children and to inculcate in our children the philosophical understanding. Based on that, the scientific advancement has to be taken in its stride and the technological advancement has to be taken in its stride. And we want to channelize this, our children, towards the positive aspects.
Okay.
How to make them discover. Today, you cannot stop that. It is happening. But our ideological and moral values should have a control over them.
Okay.
And that can only be done, as I said, under the supervision of the worthy authority of the of a wali who is competent. And starting from home, it has to go into society. Children have to be taught about that authority in the home.
Yeah.
How to manage their relationship with the environment. It's not just, as you said, floating on. No, it goes beyond that.
Okay.
It's managing the balance in the environment and how we use its forces and how we harness them for our betterment.
And with a proper measure, you said.
In the proper measure.
Not excess. Balance. Of, yeah.
What is, as I said, zuhd.
Yeah.
I was talking about zuhd. Zuhd, one of the meanings I told you that Imam Ali said that it was living as in this world as you have to live in
forever.
It forever, but be prepared to leave it even if you depart tomorrow. But another meaning, giving back to the community, to nature, more than that, what you're taking.
What you're taking, you have to give back to the
more than that.
All right.
True zuhd is
all
that.
Right. Thank you so much, Professor Nakavi, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you want to listen again, you can go back to our official website. That's www.parstoday.com. You can go to the tab, Call of Islam, and out there you can search Islamic Upbringing, and you'll find all our episodes over there. Thank you so much for being with us once again. And in case you have any questions, you have any issues, you have any anything you want to ask about the Islamic upbringing of your children, you can feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until another session, fi amanallah, God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.
Palestine Declassified.
Hello, I'm Chris Williamson, and welcome to the latest edition of Palestine Declassified, where we investigate the Israeli regime's global war against solidarity with the illegally occupied people of Palestine. The leader of the British Labour Party, Sir Keir Starmer, has been conducting a witch hunt against pro-Palestine members of his own party. His notoriously pro-Israel views are well known, but today we'll be looking at Sir Keir's relationship with a little-known but influential law firm called Mishkan Diriya. As always, I'll be speaking to experts on this issue to delve into the background to this story. But before we get into that discussion, here's Bianca Rahimi with an investigation about the role of Mishkan Diriya in pro-Israel lobbying.
Mishkan Diriya is a law and lobbying firm based in London and Singapore. It is a vast operation, including over 600 lawyers. It generates hundreds of millions of pounds of profit yearly. But what lurks behind this tidy veneer? Mishkan Diriya came about through a merger by Baron Victor Mishkan and Barlett Diriya. Victor Mishkan had secretly worked as an intermediary between Israel and Jordan, providing his home as the site of meetings between Israeli President Shimon Peres and King Hussein of Jordan. Victor Mishkan later went on to reign as vice president of the Board of Deputies, a lobby group in Britain which has admitted having a close working relationship with the Israeli embassy and strong links with the Israeli military and Ministry of Strategic Affairs. The law firm and lobby group has a special section which focuses on Israel-related activities. It claims to provide a seamless service to numerous Israeli institutions. What are some of those institutions? Documents have revealed that in 2003, Mishkan Diriya acted directly on behalf of the Israeli embassy and then President Ariel Sharon. It has sponsored events for the UK-Israel Tech Hub, which is headed by Haim Shani, a former director general in Israel's Ministry of Finance. One particular Mishkan Diriya event acted as a launch pad for Cyberbit, a cybersecurity subsidiary of Elbit Systems. The law firm proudly boasts that it advises the University of Haifa and the Hebrew University of Jerusalem on BDS campaigns against them. It is also known that Mishkan de Rea approached other companies to help them take on BDS protesters on a pro bono basis. It was also essential in the campaign against Corbyn, advising both the Jewish labor movement and key anti-Corbyn MP Margaret Hodge. Palestine Declassified can also exclusively reveal that several of Mishkan de Rea's employees have similar